This is the old, old Good Morning Man, Kermit Edney, with Program 5 of a series of 260 being broadcast and marking the 50th anniversary of broadcasting here by radio station WHKP. Frank L. Fitzsimmons spent more than 25 years behind these mics covering the happenings and the lives of our people in the early days of the county. This series deals only with the last 50 years, in a sense taking up where Fitz left off. And today, the case of the erased tape. A little over 3 months after the war in Europe had ended, the news broke locally that the noted poet and Lincoln biographer, Carl Sandburg, had purchased Connemara from Captain Ellison A. Smythe, and that he, his wife, 3 daughters, and 2 grandchildren, would be moving to Flat Rock as soon as they could close their home on Lake Michigan. I was still in Europe, and my sweet little old mama, who had never familiarized herself with the Lake Michigan fog closing in over the streets of Chicago with the silence of little cat feet, you remember that? Mom never mentioned the Sandburg move in her letters. And it was in 1947, after I'd been at HKP a year, that I learned that Sandburg was indeed a Flat Rock neighbor. Back in the late 40s and 50s, we used to originate network broadcasts from the Apple Festival, which would be broadcast over either ABC or Mutual Radio Nets. In 1948, B.M. Bevo Middleton, a former associate at WHKP and a Flat Rockian, came up with the idea of having Sandburg appear on the network show. I think on occasions these two had exchanged social servings, Bevo the fruit of the grape and Sandburg his famous rhubarb wine, and Sandburg quickly agreed. Later in the day, however, I received a call from Mrs. Sandburg, and that day I learned the meaning of the word honorarium. She pointed out to me that Carl always received an honorarium for any appearance. I suspected this meant money and discreetly inquired as to the suggested amount. The honorarium should include, why, the minimum is always at least $50, and before she could say anything else, I said, "Miss Sandburg, in that this is a non-profit effort, I'll approve the $50 and have the check mailed today." I learned honorarium. I worked with Carl and Bevo on this broadcast, and it went off without a hitch. Sandburg recognized the fact that I was the type of person who would never intrude in his life, but that I would be responsive to him if he experienced a need for information or assistance in his new home country. Sandburg was born January 6, 1878, in Galesburg, Illinois, and on January 5, 1953, he left by train for Chicago, where he would be guest of honor at a birthday celebration marking his 75th birthday. We broadcast that program from 9:30 to 10 a.m. on January 6, 1953, but we have no recording of it. For his 75th birthday, BMI, that's an acronym for Broadcast Music Incorporated, that's a large umbrella of music publishers, shipped to Sandburg a, quote, portable tape recorder. It was a wooden case and was portable only because it had a handle on it. It was enormously heavy and cumbersome, and Sandburg knew nothing about recorders. At the request of BMI, I delivered the machine to him and explained how it operated. This old machine was the first one I'd seen that an engineer told me could create a reverb, an echo effect, by feeding the output back through the input. Prior to this time, to get any echo, you had to have an echo chamber, which nothing but the networks could afford. But with this machine, you could create echo, quick or sustained, depending on speed. One of our employees at that time was captivated by this gimmick. Sandburg called me about 2 or 3 months later and said, "My machine is not working too well. Could you have a look at it?" Hoping to maintain the cordial relationship we'd established with the poet, I went to his house and struggled with that enormous, enormous machine, manhandling it finally back to the station, where it was placed on the workbench. And as I brought it in, it was quickly spotted by this captivated employee. Charlie Renfro examined the machine, made some adjustments, and says, "It's okay, you can return it." When I had picked up the machine, there was a tape already queued up which featured Carl plucking his guitar and singing along with his grandchildren, Carl and Paula Thoman, children of Helga. So I hit playback, and all I heard was this employee of ours saying, "Hello there," in full echo. And he had erased the priceless Sandburg grandchildren tapes. You can't imagine the panic that hit me. How could this adolescent goof-up be explained to the great Carl Sandburg, the Sandburg, that was treated to all the great watering holes of New York by Edward R. Murrow, who had worshipped at his feet? the Sandberg who had on a twilight evening sat on his porch at Connemara, and only a Sandberg could dramatize a simple hello, had said to me, "In the twilight of the evening, when the air is still and the lullabies of the day have gone silent, here in the halls of Connemara, you can hear the ghosts of Memminger." That's part one of the story. And if you're the seventh child of a seventh child, you're bound to find a solution to this crisis in my life. So on Monday, I'll share that with you. It'll be just another example of how, having been born in the most wonderful town in the world and having had the good sense never to leave it, and to have had a job doing exactly what I wanted to do, not for 50 years, but for a lifetime, well, what more could you ask? And as we move into the next 50 years, sursum corda.